to my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
You are in the zone. You're in the zone. It's Nick and Nick live on the island right here at the Great Fieldhouse.
Is it an island because it's in North Fresno Island kind of a thing, or is what do you mean by island?
I call island Matt and I are island on the rise. You and I are on the island because it's really, you know, if people ask what's our show all about, and that's a great question because I wanted to start that before we talk about the beautiful field house here and Helena Agro Enterprises LLC. There's some people that report news, sport news. We are the news. We come out with stories, Nick. And same thing on the Rise Show. We get the inside scoop from coaches. And so it's easy to report score. Hey, Clovis West wins. Clovis North wins. They lose. They hoot, whatever. But we do a little more. We do a little extra. Don't you think? Is that what you – am I in the ballpark?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you get around. You're the one with the news. I'm just the guy behind the scenes commenting or keeping you down to where you need to be, right?
Of course.
Wherever that might be.
No, I love that. Hey, we got a good show, but I want to, before, last week we came in here, the sun was starting to go, and then we got a little rain this week. Trees are pretty much, they're healthy right now. They got a lot of water. So if you're a farmer from Helena Agro Enterprises LLC, what's the next step now coming up to March? We're done with February already.
Well, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of applications that were made a year ago already completed, and going into this year, there's been some people are behind, not on purpose, but due to that weather you mentioned earlier. So I think a lot of people this past week, depending on where you farm, if you're able to get into the field, depending on soil type and all that good stuff, we won't get into the details on exactly that, but there's been a lot of activity in the last 4 or 5 days. Another storm system supposedly coming in soon. And that'll try to get some guys to get some things done and in hopes that they can get as much done prior to being, you know, kicked out of the field, let's say, where they're going to have to hang out for a while. But, you know, the temperatures are being mid-60s to upper 60s. That you're going to see that in the next week, even with the rain, chance of rain. So things are going to start moving. So I think, you know, in terms of agriculture, things will start catching up here pretty quickly. But more importantly, these plants don't stop. They keep doing what they're doing, regardless if they can get in and out of the field. So you got to make sure your nutritional programs and fungicide programs are up to speed. Even if you haven't done those yet, you still got to consider plant health. So consulting with a licensed pest control advisor or a certified crop advisor or both, if you're lucky enough to have a person that has both credentials. And if you need one, call Helena.
559-261-9030,
and they will hook you up with an individual that best suits where you farm.
Well, we're here at the Field House, Copper. Maple.
That's it, right there. You got that right this time. I like that.
Come on down, hang out. Lewis is here. We got great food.
Lewis,
I'm going to recommend the old school, the old fashioned cheeseburger, fries. They got the blue cheese dress. You know, I eat like I'm 12 years old.
I watch you every show, and that's it's definitely an experience if for sure. So I'll take your advice on that. But if you're on your way over to the field house to enjoy that, or some of that smoked brisket that we continue to talk about week to week, those are definitely items that you want to get involved with your diet, let's say. Also, if you're in here, make sure you reference the 940 cocktail because it is a great cocktail for those adults that are out there.
Yeah, and that's you. I mean, you have plenty during the show, and if you notice, he gets happier and happier as the show goes. So
plenty.
Yeah. It's Nick and Nick. We got a great show today. We're going to talk Mark Gritton, the Hall of Famer, the former West Hills legendary coach and AD. We got a big Hall of Fame from junior college coming up. Fresno City Rams Jack Maddox is going to be inducted on Saturday coming up. Also, we're going to have the one, the only, Vance Wahlberg is going to join us at about 5 o'clock. Only has 9 Valley Championships. I got a lot of questions. You might have heard, you've met Vance before?
I have met Vance.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I concur on your description of Vance. A lot of experience, and he'll be able to kind of walk us through, I think, what is left in terms of the the state tournament and where the some of the teams are that still are alive out there, which we'll talk a little bit about that. It was a big night last night in terms of boys basketball for two Valley teams, one that traveled in terms of San Joaquin Memorial to go up to the Bay Area to play Bishop O'Dowd. We'll get into that. We'll talk about Clovis West playing against
Modern Day.
Well, the girls.
The girls.
And that's a big one. And so the girls having a comeback the other night against Redondo Union. What an amazing comeback by that group of kids. And to come back.
I was there for that.
I think most people that were in that gym, and we'll talk a little bit more in detail about that, but if you were there, you got to witness something that doesn't necessarily happen, especially at that open level. And you can say what you want to say about basketball, or I'm not going to get into the Clovis West thing, but there's a remarkable achievement to come back against the Redondo Union team that's very scrappy, very well-coached team. So we'll chat a little bit about that, and then what's ahead for Clovis West in Modern Day. And I've got some fun things to talk about with Modern Day, because I remember when Modern Day, Nick, came up here and played in Campbell. Coach Campbell has a Nike tournament each year, and it was funny, I was sharing this with him the other day, is I remember they came up, and that's when they had a really, really good team, and we were building the program still, or Craig was building the program, and they came up and they played, and they won it. And, we played them, I think, in the championship, if I'm not mistaken, and lost, but I think they told Craig, hey, we're done, we're going to go to some different tournaments now, we're not going to come back. Well, it's funny, because how many years ago that was? It's probably like 5 or 6. Now they're having to come play Clovis West at Clovis West now. So it kind of shows you where the program has it's gotten to in the last several years. So congratulations to the Clovis West girls team, and we wish them luck. And it continues to, like them or hate them, it does the Valley well when our teams continue to win outside of the market area.
I was there the other night, watched that Redondo Union game, and I sat in the crowd, because that's what I like. I don't want to sit at a table, and I don't want to be a – I don't do that. I want to sit in the crowd with the fans. The fans are restless. They didn't like the refereeing. Redondo Union was very aggressive. And I think what I've learned is defense against Clovis West, Valley versus Clovis West, is light years different. The Redondo Union came in, and they wanted to find out what kind of chewing gum – that Clovis West was chewing. That's how close they played defense. And the fans were, what's going on? They weren't happy about it. But they wore them down. Second half-wise, Clovis West did their thing. And Modern Day's going to come in. They're going to be a little taller. But I think if Clovis West has to come out and shoot early, and they can't go out and go 1-8 from the three-point world in the first half, they're not the fastest team in the world. Clovis West is not a quick team. They played well as a team, but they did a little full-court pressure against Redondo Union, wore them out, and they were done. But one gentleman came up to me and says, Nick, watch the difference, maybe you could tell me, on the baskets. One side, the rim is different than the other. And I looked at it. Redondo Union had that side. They were hot in the first half. And I'm talking, so if you are looking at the press or where the timekeeper keeps, the basket to the left, that's the cold basket.
It would be like the west basket?
That would be the west basket, or the north. Is that north or west?
Yeah, northwest. Call it north.
Okay, northwest. That's the cold basket. You notice, and he came back, he goes, watch in the second half. Clovis West is going to get it hot because that rim is different. We might be on to something here. We might be on. Now, I don't know what happened last night. You tell me the first half. What was Clovis West? He did pretty good.
Yeah.
On the boys' side.
Yeah.
What basket were they on? Do you remember?
Well, they made a good run. They start every home game on the east basket, which I'll call the northeast basket,
okay.
I guess, towards the swimming pool in the east gym.
And that's the hot basket. You've noticed? Is that right?
I mean, it can be. I don't know if I can. That's a great question. I can't really answer that, okay. Because if I'd have to, I'd have to really think about that or ask some players that actually have played out there. But I haven't heard that before. But I knew it's funny because players do have that mindset. I've heard players say, "Well, that rim's kind of bent over there." If they go into an opposing gym, and
that wouldn't
surprise me if somebody felt that way about. It's just that little features that people have.
Well, let's talk about Nick and Nick. We all know the Pag meter. Nick Anderson, son, plays Cole Anderson, played last night, 31 points against a very good team from up north.
Tell us about the game. Well, I mean, that game was one of those games where you're biting your nails. You're happy to be at home because if you're on the road, I feel like you're probably going to be in a certain situation that we weren't in the first half. When your shots are falling, it's good. But those games that are there when your shots aren't falling, what Clovis West needed last night was they needed, more of that scoring. Free throws, turnovers, and everybody participated in that, and in both teams, right? But at the end of the day, they lost by five or so, six, and that's what ended up happening. Everything kind of comes down to the wire. Like I told Dante Chachere last night after the game, I said, listen, you realize that, you're a senior, you're going out, this is not a good way to go out, but you knew eventually you're going to have to lose at some point. But I'll tell you, for that team to get to that game, and going through what they've gone through, we talked a little bit about Clovis West girls and getting through Redondo Union. Well, Clovis West had to get through a very good Clovis North team and at home on that last. They were down by, I don't know, some people talking about the Clovis West girls being down by 20 or 25 and coming back. But, Clovis North is a great basketball team on the boys' side. And I think Clovis West was down by close to 20, I want to say, going into the second half.
Halftime, 35-15.
Right. So nobody talks about that comeback for some reason. I'm not sure why that ever came back. Hasn't come up yet. So that was a great comeback. Then they had to play a very good Buller team in the Valley Championship, and that could have went either way. And so what I told Dante, I said, you didn't make that shot at the end, regardless of what anybody's thinking right now on the other end of the wire here. Is that if he didn't make that shot, Clovis West doesn't go on. So that game last night would have never existed. Again, that's all simple stuff I'm talking about. But still, that team should feel good. We always seem, you use the same analogy everywhere you go. There's always seemed to be that hangover from Selland. But I think our teams are starting to win games beyond Selland. It's not the one and done type of thing. Clovis West won that first round. San Joaquin Memorial won theirs. Bullard lost a heartbreaker in their own gym, and I think
they had a selling hangover.
Yes, and rightfully so. That was a tough game. I think any team that would have played in the Valley Championship, especially Division One, being so hyped up, and two very good teams with some really really good players on both ends of the court, that would be a tough one to come back from. There's no question about it. And then Clovis North playing Division Two at home, that was a shocker to me. I never thought they would lose. To a Division Two in a Division Two area there, but they did, and that could have been a hangover leading up into the Valley Championship by losing to Clovis West. So it could happen to anybody. But in terms of the game last night, I will tell you that team was very big.
Who are they again? Monroe?
Yes.
Yes, from up north.
Hayward, California.
Yeah.
So
is that a private professional team?
Well. It is a private school, but I don't know if there's such a thing as private professional high schools anymore, because I really feel like anymore a public school is going to be a professional high school anyway, Nick, because the way these transfer rules are today and being able to scoot around and do the things that they do. I mean, look at Milton Burnett. That's a great example right there of being able to move around at will and still have eligibility at location. So that's going to continue to get worse. Those are all public schools. You had San Joaquin Memorial was private. You blurred to public school. Clovis West is a public school. So if you're able to do that, all it takes is one person to start getting that type of thing, being, oh, hey, I can get away with that. You're gonna see a lot more of that, and you're going to see a lot more recruiting down the road. But getting back to the game, large team. They got some really big players. They got crafty guards that are very fast. Clovis West not quite had probably played a team like that with guards that could play that well. So we had no answer in terms of defense, even with what we would call our defenders that were out there running around doing their thing that they normally are able to do well. So I think that put us into a tough situation. To be up against that team like we were, I feel that the home field advantage was a big deal for that team last night. And it was a shame that they couldn't pull it out, but just the way it worked. But the other team was very athletic, there's no question. I think they'll do pretty well.
Cole Anderson with 31 points last night. Fantastic. Great segue to my next question. We're going to talk about it after the break. Rumors are flaring again. Jalen Green, is he leaving Memorial? We'll talk about it. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, you were on the Zone on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the Zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pack Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the Zone
on a Friday afternoon, getting you ready for the weekend here at the Fieldhouse, where they got tremendous specials going on. You have salads a lot in here because you're a salad chicken.
No,
tell what a lot of ladies listen. What kinds of salad do they have here?
I think you can get a salad with some tri-tip. That's what I usually get. Okay. I'm not sure. I don't know if they have any seafood. I got to check that. It's a good question. We'll check on that for you. But really, I spend a lot of time with that brisket, that smoked brisket. I think that's...
Can you get it on Fridays, too, or just Saturdays, Sundays?
I'm telling me, I think it's Saturdays and Sundays
but
only.
But you don't really know what you're talking about right now. I'm throwing questions at you. You're just stumped.
No. I think they explained that to us earlier, that Saturday and Sunday is the day it's special. They come out here 12 hours before they open and smoke this brisket and start it that early, and then they start serving it for lunch, and that's why it's so good. But if they do it every day, it's just kind of a time-consuming thing. So it's a special, so it doesn't lose its luster, Nick, and so you keep that luster at a high level. And that's why you come in here on weekends and enjoy basketball, baseball, and boy, do we have a lot of baseball coming up. And I can't wait for baseball. I'm going to be at spring training next week on location, covering the Giants game on Monday over in Scottsdale. So I'm looking forward to that. And I will get you some kind of a pullover, I guess you want, from Bochy, right?
Yes, I do. It's his last year. Speaking before we get to high school basketball and high school baseball, Bryce Harper signs a $330 million contract with the Phillies.
Now, boy.
Okay, I think it's the best thing the Giants ever did, get away from that contract. I think the fans would have liked it for a while. Do the players like him? And here's the reason why I ask. So Manny Ramirez signs with the Padres. Manny's a perfect guy to go play in a team that's not very good. I don't know if he likes the pressure.
Manny who?
Manny Ramirez. I mean,
Machado.
The former Dodger.
Okay.
Machado. Okay, so.
Machado.
You think that's a good move? Because a guy like Bryce Harper, how's he going to do with playoff time and pressures on him, spotlight? I think Manny, that's a perfect fit for the Padres. I haven't yet to see. I want to see. I know Mike Trout's the best ball in baseball, but he always just goes through. The Angels are always 28 games out.
So Machado.
Yeah.
I feel that is a good move for the Padres. I agree with you on that. The strategy on Harper... A lot of people have their opinion on that, and listening to plenty, I kind of agree with one. It's not coming from me. I've heard this, but it makes a little sense. So you sign him for what, 13 years?
Yeah.
13 years. Yeah. It's some crazy number. So you get the salary plus the signing bonus the first year, then you take it from there. I think it's $23 million a year.
23
I want
to
say.
26.
So every year you get that chunk. Okay, so if you look at... What's going to happen with the Phillies? What does that give the Phillies in terms of ammunition? Well, if he's there and he's locked in for 13 years, what does that do for the team? Well, it enables him to be like a so-called LeBron James and go out and start talking to this other free agents about, hey, listen, we want to form this championship team. I'm going to be here locked in for 13 years. Come over here and let's win some championships. I heard that this morning on ESPN. And I said, man, that's probably the best thing I heard all day. I mean, even though it makes a little bit of sense, but can they get it done? Trout's name came up, for example. Would Trout go over to Philadelphia and join Harper? Could those kind of things happen? That's to be seen. But I think they're setting that up to where Harper's going to be that guy, and they're going to start forming people around him. Are they successful doing that? We'll find out.
Yeah, stay tuned on that one. And yeah, it could happen. We'll find out on that. And we're going to find out a lot of things, but I'm so excited that baseball is. I'm a baseball guy, as you know. So we were talking a little bit about Jalen Green, the San Joaquin Memorial superstar. I think it would crush a lot of people. I keep hearing rumors. Of course, Nick, I heard rumors last year at this time. Jalen Green's leaving. He's gone. He's going to go to Trinity. He's going up north. He's going this. And he didn't. He stayed at Memorial. What's your thoughts on a guy like this? Would he go? Would he go away? Or does he want to stay? In other words, does he want to be in the big fish in the big pond here? Or does he want to go and maybe he's not going to get as many touches? Because he can score 50 points a game if he wants. He can shoot every time. You really can't stop the guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a great question. I don't think either one of us can answer that question. It'd have to be a question you have to ask him on what he's looking for and what he's trying to accomplish his last year in high school sports, whether it be to remain at San Joaquin Memorial. I mean, there's a lot of rumors last year. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. You know, he's going to go on and do a lot of things at different levels above high school. There's no question. So the question comes down to, what do you want to get out of the rest of your time? You know, after AAU season starts up, he's gonna play on the big stage again this summer and do well. And you know, I've watched him play on that circuit, you know, before, and he performs well against the nation's best. So it goes back to your original question, him playing in the Valley here and playing at San Joaquin Memorial, playing against local teams, you know, especially in that league that they're in, does that challenge him enough? Does that enable him to get better and get him to where he wants to be personally by the time he leaves high school? And I think those are the questions that he'd have to answer, not me, but those are the things I would ask him. You know, what do you want to get done in the next 12 months and to prepare yourself for that, whether it be an NBA draft or a one-and-done type of a thought. Maybe it's two and one. I don't know what his thought process is on what he's been talking to people about on that. So that would be a great question. Maybe we can get him on the show at some point, and he can answer some of those questions. Regardless if he stays or goes, I think it's great to understand what he thinks he wants to achieve in the next 12 months or so.
Yeah, I know he's going to have a busy summer. You mentioned AAU. He's got a lot of big tournaments around the country, so he's going to be taking off pretty quick. Now, a news source up in the Bay Area They interviewed him and says, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm out. But that's kids talking. That means nothing. It's just never interview a kid after a game. That's just a thing I've learned about.
Well, especially a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know where that, what your, you know, the publication that you're talking about. But, again, this time last year, there was so much stuff. I mean, there was a lot of rumors about Cole as well. And he was going, he was leaving and doing this, and some of it, you know, just kind of starts the conversation, and most of it's hearsay. It's rumors until it's real, right? That's the way I look at it. So let Jalen answer that question. It's his business, and we'll let him go. But I'll tell you what, it's been fun for the area to have him here, to have the San Joaquin Memorial team exposed across the nation, if you will, and playing in some preseason tournaments that were pretty big, to have that stream through, whether it be ESPN or NorCal TV, that's been doing most of their games this year. It's been good for the San Joaquin Valley.
So true. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Junior College Hall of Fame football with Mark Gritton, the legendary coach and athletic director from West Hills. Don't go anywhere. Along at 5 o'clock, we'll have Vance Wahlberg, 5:30, Fresno State Baseball. We're at the Fieldhouse. Come on in and join us. It's Nick and Nick, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone. Oh, my God! The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe in miracles? Yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on, hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the zone, man.
And you
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, it's the Pack Meter. It's Nick Anderson right here at the Field House. It's starting to pile up. We always start slow in here, and all of a sudden, it's Friday. They want to get their Fridays on, and that's where it happens at Field House. Nick's in the house. We got three Nicks going on right here. He's going to bring over some prime rib tip sandwich. Tri-tip.
Wait a minute. That's prime tip.
No, prime rib sandwich along with tri-tip.
I like it.
You swirl together, you got prime.
That's
tip.
Right. Too much. It's so good. Your mindset's just so focused on that. You just can't spit it out. But you got a tri-tip sandwich here.
Yep.
You've got a prime rib dip that has some au jus with it that is there for dipping, and it's out of this world. Both those items on the menu that you can come down today. And if you mention 940, you get a 10% discount on those two items today. Today only. And don't forget about that 940 cocktail that they do so well here. You'd be surprised if you haven't had that. So come down and enjoy one or two as long as you're an adult and over the age of 21.
Well, last year I got the MC, the West Hills Hall of Fame dinner, and I saw a lot of trees for Helen Agra Enterprises LLC. It drove by the Fireball plant. You're all over the place, but tree, the bloom's coming. What are you doing for trees now?
Spraying.
Okay.
Got to get it out. You can't get anything in the soil right now in terms of fertilizer, at least to where it's available, or it's going to take time for that to convert over to where it isn't available. So that's going to take some time. So your foliar applications, even though it's very challenging to get that done based off the weather, is your best attack right now. And to get that done, I wish you luck. But you can't ignore it, and when it does come a point where you can get in the field, you got to have a really good program to keep your kitchen caught back up.
You're trying to make farmers some money at 559-261-9030. Well, last year at this dinner, the legendary West Hills football coach and athletic director had about three steaks. So if he was here today, he'd be good for three prime rib sandwiches. Of course, I'm talking about the legendary Mark Gritton. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing fine, guys. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, I know we're going to do a little later, but, you know, the Pack Meter time, I'm always ahead because I'm excited to get you on. And how's
That's
it going?
Okay. I'm ready for it.
Of course, he lives right down, I believe, down the neighborhood. You live in close to Pismo, right? Grover Beach?
In Grover Beach, yes.
Home of the Cal Poly Mustangs.
Yeah, Nick, there's been a couple times where you mentioned hiking on that Avila Ridge, I think. And we do that. My wife and I do that. Every weekend we take one trip around that thing.
You got to be kidding me. I you're right, you got a good memory. When I get over there, which I probably spent more time over that way, I get over there for business, but I get over there when my daughter played basketball at Cal Poly for 4 years, and that's not going on anymore. But I'll tell you what, that was my favorite thing to do, is to get up and hit that thing. I took my wife up there one time, and I think she almost divorced me after that. But I'll tell you, that's a challenging peak. And if you're fit or you think you're fit, go ahead and do that, and then call me later and tell me how you feel.
Hey, give me a call when you're over here, man. We'd love to do it. You know, in fact, I ended up passing my physician on the hike, and I said, "Do you want me to keep doing this, or can you just tell me not to?" And he said, "No, you better go ahead and finish this thing."
We're talking with Mark Gritton now. Mark, Nick met his lovely wife Jill at Cal Poly. Where'd you meet your wife at?
I met her when I was coaching at College of the Sequoias, 1988.
Okay. There you go. See it? I love it. Well, Mark, you got something special going on. It's the 31st Annual California Community College Football Coaches Hall of Fame. And tell us about this, because this is a big deal.
Well, you know what? It is kind of a big deal. And there's huge names that have began their coaching careers at the community college level in California. Many players, Aaron Rodgers is one of them, who played at Butte College. You got Willie Wood, who played, for the Packers, who started his career at, West Hills College. Frank Gifford, at Bakersfield College. Jackie Robinson, he was at Pasadena College. All of these guys are in the California Community Football Coaches Association Hall of Fame.
That's fantastic. So tell us about this year's group. Because I know the legendary Fresno City Rams coach Jack is going in.
Yeah, Jack Maddox. You know, it's interesting. I'm the Hall of Fame chairman of this event. And so, you know, along with that goes a lot of phone calls and preparation and getting to know these guys. And, man, I tell you what, I know exactly why these guys are Hall of Famers. They are great, great, humble people. And it's been interesting getting to know a little bit more about about Jack Maddox.
Well, let's talk about now. It's how do people? My email's already blown up. They want to know how to get tickets. How do they go?
Well, I tell you what. You know, they can shoot. I don't know if I should. Let me. You can. You have my email address.
Yes.
No, we want your personal. We want your personal phone number. So we.
I was about ready to spit that out, but I thought, you know what, I better not. But
I thought that was right on the tip of your tongue. You going, wait a minute, let me think about this for a second.
I put pressure on Mark Gritton right there. That's what I did.
No, so go ahead and forward my email address to him. You know,
okay.
To those people that are interested, and I will certainly guide them in the right direction. I have to tell you, we got another kid from the Valley, Ryan Benjamin. He's out of Tulare Union High School, and he came to COS. And transferred to University of Pacific. And this guy here was a three-time collegiate All-American, once at COS and 2 years up at UOP.
Oh, he's a fantastic kid, no doubt. What's he doing now? Is he going to be at the dinner?
Oh, yeah. He's
getting lunch?
Inducted. Yeah,
oh,
he's getting inducted today. We'd like to get a bunch of those guys. And, you know, as you know, you guys know that this coaching, you know, fraternity is pretty incestuous, and there's a coach that worked with Pat Hill at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, Barry Lamb, who was a two-time All-American at Santa Barbara City College, but ended up coaching at the college ranks at the highest level for 35 years. So he's going to be there, too, and we're hoping Pat can show up. And I know that Barry's planning on looking forward to seeing him, too.
We're talking with Mark Gritton, the legendary West Hills football coach. You know what? When I got to do the Hall of Fame last year, you have the greatest people in the whole wide world out there in Kalinga. What a group.
You know, it is a nice place, you know, and you just, like I mentioned, you know, that the Hall of Fame celebration at West Hills College, more or less, it celebrates the town of Kalinga, you know, and just a neat group of people that are there and continue to support athletics and the college. It was a great, great professional experience for me.
Hey, Mark, so you're the perfect guy to ask. Right now, this year, football for the youth is the safest it's ever been. So as a guy, you got a young family coming up. You hear the horror stories of football's horrible. We don't want you to play. And back in the day, you know as well as I do, there was hitting all day long at practice. Now kids don't even hit anymore. I go out to practices, and it's everything above. You don't tackle anymore. Tell the young families out there, what's your aspect of the new world of football we live in?
Well, you know what? I haven't heard Nick's take on it, but I have listened quite a bit, as you know, to Matt's take on it. And I think football is as safe as it's ever been. I think each coach at the lower levels, you know, nowadays they have to get certified, you know, to be a head coach. I think the tackling, you know, techniques they're teaching now are going to save, you know, a lot of these injuries that people are afraid of. But man, I really think it really needs to be promoted that this is a safe sport. Shoot, there's more concussions in water polo per capita and soccer per capita.
Yeah.
You know, so I really think this football thing is kind of getting blown out. And, you know, I would encourage any parent to go sit in those meetings that these coaches have to go through to be certified, you know, to be a coach at this level. Not just a head coach, but assistant coaches, too, have to go through this type of training to be certified.
Yeah, I feel like a parent should have to go through parent training sometimes, too.
You're exactly right, Nick.
Did I just say that?
You're a parent, by the way.
I need to go through training, but get back to the safety part of it. I really think I blame it on. Yeah, is it a physical sport? Yes. Can you get hurt? Yes. Can you get hurt in other sports? Yes. Yeah, there have been some things, some lawsuits and things like that are in the NFL for some of those guys. Yeah, there seems to be. How truthful those are, that's yet to be seen. I'm seeing there's a lot of them that really aren't there, but they are there kind of stuff, and there's ongoing discussions. But as far as the sport goes on a national level, from the little midget guys that run around, they call it midget ball or elementary school or Pop Warner, however you want to put it, you know, the equipment, I've seen that firsthand on what the equipment these school districts are giving out now. Visalia Unified, I think correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was Visalia. That somebody, I think it was you know, Grippetti down there donated a certain amount of helmets, Nick. Is that right? I think that's the case.
Yeah, the Visalia School District gave everyone the most expensive, best helmet there is.
Yeah, so you look at that, you know, the technique part, which I think, you know, honestly, I think a lot of coaches didn't take the time to really, you know, show you how to properly do the thing that's fundamentally in football. So to go through that process, I think that's great, too. So, yeah, no, it's safer than ever. I know a lot of kids, including myself, who've played the game, and I'm still walking around. I might be kind of dense from time to time, but I'm still here, and I'm feeling pretty well. So, and I've played enough football to understand that, you know, what you can get away with and what you can't. So I think it comes down to who you're playing for, the equipment and stuff, and most of these school districts have to have that. They've got to have a good, good program in itself. But to have a certification that goes on today, that's a no-brainer in my mind. So if you're thinking about not playing football, you shouldn't do it because you feel like you're going to get you have brain damage or anything. I say that with I don't mean that the wrong way, but trust me. I mean, it's a fun sport. I think it needs to be something that we continue to pursue.
There's so many things that come from participating in that sport, you know, that carry over way into, you know, years after you're done playing. And, you know, bottom line, man, keep your eyes up, keep your eyes on the football, and see what you hit. You know, keep your head up.
Well said.
So what years were you at COS? Remind me. You said 88?
I was there in 1988 and 1989.
Okay. So a buddy of mine by the name of Mike Keyline, does that ring a bell for you?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
COS, Cal Poly Mustangs, and had a little bit of a stint preseason in the NFL, if I'm not mistaken. Just a little bit for San Francisco, possibly. But one of those guys that went from JUCO to Cal Poly, correct?
Wide receiver?
Tight end, I think. Yeah, wide receiver, tight end.
Yeah. He was a bigger kid, you know, at the junior college level. Yeah, great kid. I think Mount Whitney High School.
Yep.
And went on with a couple of our kids that went over to Cal Poly after that season. Yeah,
you got a lot of kids that come out of that area down there. I think COS fed Cal Poly pretty well, so that stands a lot for that program down there, especially at that time.
Sure, sure. Matter of fact, Lyle Settensich was a head coach at COS at one point, and then ended up being the head coach at he was Mike's coach at Cal Poly at that time.
Yeah, you know, Lyle's a heck of a guy. I mean, you talked about the community, the fraternity of coaches, and you start thinking about all these coaches that have coached out there, and a lot of them have ties to the Valley. You got, you know, Jim Sanderson was a coach that coached over at Cal Poly. He had some ties to the Valley. Lyle, of course, and him getting around even after Cal Poly and moving around to Arizona State, Cal, and those guys kind of all, some of those guys originated up in Boise State, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. I've met Jim before and had a dinner with him. That dude is a guy. What a wonderful, wonderful guy Coach Sanderson is.
Yeah, he's a good individual. He was part of that, if I'm not mistaken, just after that 1980 National Championship Division II that Cal Poly had. Just after that, he took over.
Right. He took over for a while, and I don't know if he stayed on as the head coach for a while, but I know that he's very well thought of as a defensive guy, and of course, those are the guys we like anyways.
Yeah, for sure. And that, who knows, the Valley Championship game might be played at Cal Poly here in the near future.
And
well,
Mark,
you know,
he's on it.
Yeah, I spoke with Bob about that, you know, and I've been involved in the state championship football game for community colleges for the last, I don't know, 15 years. And if Bob needs any help with that, him and I have communicated, you know, that if he needs any help with this situation over here, then, because I know all these guys, I know the coaches at Cal Poly now, and if it's something we could leverage, you know, to get a little break, then all Bob has to do is just give me the gun and I'm going.
Mark Gritton, one of the great guys out there. I love you. You're outstanding. The 31st Annual Hall of Fame Luncheon is March the 9th. Get a hold of me on the PAG meter, and I'll get Mark's email out there for you, and we'll get you at that lunch. And Mark, thank you so much for joining us today, and keep us updated, because usually you're my PAG meter information specialist. So keep it up.
No problem. As you know, the Valley, has now included the Central Coast.
Yep.
So, let me know if there's anything you need from my end, and I can dig it up or help you out with getting in contact with. Athletic teams over here as well.
Oh, love it. Thank you so much. Hey, have a great weekend. We'll talk again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Hey, Nick, you better give me a call when you come over here. Let's do that ridge.
I'll do it if I can keep up.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You got it. Mark Gritton.
And thanks, Mark.
And there's a zero chance you can keep up. He's the Jack LaLanne of the west, of the Central Coast. No way you're keeping up with
no,
him.
No, I'm not keeping up. I barely can make that hill. I didn't want to say that, but I say I go up that thing, but I'm sucking air by the time I'm halfway up there and looking for a place to sit down. But what a great place. What a great view from up there. If any of you guys have ever climbed that ridge, if you haven't climbed that ridge, you need to climb that ridge. If you want more information, email me.
Hey, if you want to give us a call, 844-940-ESPN is our number. We're going to take a break, talk basketball. We could talk baseball. I got a couple questions for the Nickster here. 5 o'clock, Vince Wahlberg's going to join us. We got a lot to talk about, but I want to hear what you think, what your thoughts are, in maybe in the state seedings, the high school seedings, baseball going on. We'll keep you updated. A lot going on here. We are live here at the Fieldhouse on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
Mr. Helena Agri, you
are in the zone.
Mr. Mosby's going to have twins, we just found out, from Helena Agri Enterprises. Oh, I can't say that? Oh, God. How about them Bulldogs?
I like those Bulldogs. Yeah. I like the Bulldogs' chances, by the way, and the hoops.
Can they get to the big show?
I think they're starting to pop a little bit. I wouldn't want to play them right now, I can tell you that.
Do they have enough to get to the – what do they have to do to get to the show? Not the NIT, but the show.
I think you got to win the tournament, honestly. I really do. I mean, that's what's – Tony talks about that all the time, You know, you can ask him if he was on here right now. He'd probably tell you the same thing. I didn't get a chance to listen to his show earlier. I was tied up in some meetings this afternoon, but I was hoping, because I know he was going to chat a little bit about that. But I think you got to, same every year, that Mountain West, you almost got it, unless there was some crazy thing going on, like a Nevada, for example. Let's say if Fresno State won the Mountain West, would Nevada still go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. So that would be the only way to get two teams out of the mountain. I wouldn't say the only way. I'm just speaking here, but the experts can probably elaborate a little bit more on that. That's my feeling on it. You'd have to win. Another team would have to win to get two teams in. That
so it's all about the tournament now. Forget about the rest of the way. You got to win the tournament.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. I mean, I hate saying that, but right now from what we're seeing and some of those things that went along during the season, it just seems obvious to me that would have to happen.
So if they don't win, it's NIT. You're saying?
I think NIT. That's what I'm thinking. But I'd love to listen to anybody that can steer me in the right direction on understanding if that might be different and chat about that.
844-940-ESPN is our phone number. If you want to call in, call Russ at the studio. We'll get you on. So I got a question for the Nickster, the big cat. And I want to know what you compare this to other sports. Danielle Gibson from Arkansas, softball player. In one game, hit a home run, hit a two-run blast.
What?
Then she hit a three-run homer.
Come on.
And a grand slam. So she had the cycle in one game. Now, a lot of people you'll read about, Mike Trout hit the cycle. He hit a single, double, triple home run. Not in an order, but in the game. She hit the cycle for home runs. This will never happen again, and I don't want to hear, it'll never happen in baseball because they wouldn't pitch to her. Baseball and softball, yes, are two different worlds. You see a lot of things, unwritten rules. Baseball, if you make two outs on two pitches, 100% chance the next guy is going to take the pitch. You just don't want to get three pitches, three outs. Softball, there's a whole different world. What do you think of that? What would you compare that to?
I've been sitting here thinking what would be a good answer for that, and that's amazing to me, because here's the thing. Now, if you're playing in maybe a softball league like you're playing, for example.
I don't play softball. Or play old man baseball.
Okay. Same.
We can't hit it that far. All right. Over the
well,
fence.
You know, old man softball, old man baseball. I can kind of see somebody, maybe get a guy that just came out of high school or just came out of college, and he's going up against you, and he just cranks him out because you don't have the strength anymore. I can see that happening. But you're talking about a player that's playing at Division I level, such as Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I don't know who they were playing, but it doesn't matter. It's still college softball. But I don't even care if a professional guy is going to have a hard time doing that. And so my thought on it is that, yeah, I agree. It's probably not going to happen again. Second of all, it's absolutely amazing that it did happen, and that's crazy. How do I compare that to? Man, I don't know. I mean, you compare it to winning national championships consecutive years? Is it 5 NBA rings, 6 NBA rings? Is it a Valley championship or 7 Valley championships? I don't know. I think that's something that you probably take home and you talk about the rest of your life, and you probably won't see it again for a while. At that level.
I've never heard of it. This is a freaky deal. I got some emails coming in. They said, how about the NHL? The guy had a hat trick in 21 seconds. That's amazing.
Now, that's
so think about that.
That just happened too, right?
Yeah, well, he didn't say the year. I'd love to know the year. How about that, though? Think about that. You're at a hockey game. You just got in your seat, and it's getting ready. The puck's going to drop at center ice. He shoots, he scores! They drop it again. He shoots, he scores! And then 14 more seconds.
Drop
he
it
scores!
Again. Scores!
The same guy, hat trick.
I'd say I could go with that. And that's not, even though it sounds really remarkable to me, I'm still going to say that the softball player's successes prevails. That's my opinion. That's what I think.
So Matt Johnson.
What's everybody else thinking here? Oh, yeah, well, looks like. Yep. One more, two. Well, it looks like so the Arkansas softball player seems to be consensus on a better win.
So Matt Johnson, my partner on Thursday, said
Matty J.
This would compare if it's football. He said a quarterback throwing for 400 plus yards, running for 200 plus yards, running back a kickoff, a punt, and picking off, you know, throw for 5 touchdowns, of course, and picking off one on defense for a touchdown. Is that close?
Man, that'd be pretty difficult, I think. I that's never going to happen.
Well, I mean, think
so
about
it. So what he's doing, he's just telling you all the stuff that'll never happen and know that it'll never happen again.
How about when Will Chamberlain scored 100 points in basketball? Is that something?
Well, when you're 9 feet tall and everybody else is 5'10 at the time, it's kind of like Bill Russell and those guys back in the day. I mean, look at Bill Walton today. Would Bill Walton be as successful in today's NBA as he was when he played in the NBA back when? The answer is no.
Well, Andy Lowe says you talk with your hands a lot. So it must be a Helena Aguirre Enterprise
LLC
deal.
No, it's called Italian. I'm Italian. You're Italian. You talk with your – well, I'm not sure yet, but I talk with my hands.
Okay. I like it.
You like it?
So I like 844-940-ESPN. Will this ever happen? And a lot of questions coming in. Why did they still pitch to her after 2 or 3 home runs? Another great question. Again, softball's a whole other world.
Have you watched these softball pitchers, though? I mean, I've watched plenty of softball, and I couldn't hit the ball. You could not hit the ball. You would struggle to hit a softball pitcher. I mean, that ball's coming at you, and they got their arms wound up, and it's like a – I don't know what it is, but – I wouldn't even want to be anywhere near the plate as they're pitching. No.
Well, you were in ballet when you were young, so that, I don't even.
So
I,
are
I
you? You don't like ballet?
Well, for you, no. Yeah, you can't even hit a golf ball. I'm hearing now from the Helen Agra Enterprises LLC crew out here. They're all over you, Nick.
But what I didn't do is sit on the bench at San Joaquin Memorial when I was on the baseball team.
He was a starting. He was all league peg meter catcher, Andy Lowe, for the Memorial Panthers. They beat Clovis West that one. It was a Bullard. Which one was it? Every year I forget.
I just love when people walk up on senior day and they say, what's the best thing I ever did in my deal? And that's Andy Lowe. And he says, the best thing I ever did was I beat Clovis West. And they go, well, Andy, how'd you do that game? He goes, I didn't really play, but we beat them. So that's a team sport, right? So you got to support it.
I think we have to check the
check the stats on that, I think.
Or, yeah, I think we're going to have to check the handbook for Helena. Is this legal?
Everybody gets a ribbon.
844-940-ESPN. I'd love to know. I've never heard of it. I don't know what sport would even compare that. A cycle, think about it, home run, 2-run homer, 3-run homer, and then a grand slam all in the same.
If anybody's listening that has a phone and is capable of emailing the PAG meter or calling in, I'd love for your thoughts on that, on how you would compare that to something else that you've experienced.
Well, Russ is a hockey guy. We all know that. But a hat trick in 21 seconds, Russ. He's probably shaking his head, and that's unbelievable.
That's
true. That'll never happen either.
Russ is a hockey guy.
Yeah, that'll never happen again, unless there's no goalie. I can't imagine a goalie. Three in a row. I mean, they might want to go, hey, Sal, what's going on over there? 21 seconds, you give up three goals. Maybe he drank too much the night before. I don't know what's going on with Sal, but that's what happened.
Well, hockey guys kind of do that. I mean, they have fun doing it.
You think so?
Yeah. I like hockey.
Well, let's chime in on a little basketball. We got some state playoffs. Saturday night in the open division, Clovis West girls takes on Modern Day at home in the Nest. We got still Dinuba in Division 4. Now, my question to you is, our committee, as they're listening now as we speak, our committee, the CIF, gives teams to the CIF committee. And then once they leave their little hands, they don't know where they're going. That's just how it is. So we saw the Foothill Trojans, D4 champs, beat Bakersfield Christian at Selden Arena, 56-50, I believe. But after that month, or that Sunday, the seeds come out. Foothill beat Bakersfield Christian, but they go to D4, and Bakersfield Christian went to D3. To me, and I don't care what you say, that's a little interesting. You got to look at who wins the game first. To me, I don't know. I know Walter's here. He's going to go, oh, it's because of, you know, what they did before. I get it, but no. Dinuba is playing in Division 4, and there's no way they should be playing in Division 4 with all those. So, state was very interesting, Nick. What's your thoughts? You saw some of them.
Well, you put Clovis North in Division 2.
How does that happen?
I mean, I don't get that. I mean, I think it's all about what they want to do in terms of, you know, travel and you know, teams playing each other. But having a school like Clovis North, the population that they have, the enrollment there, be in Division 2.
So you're saying it should never be in Division 2?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So, in other words, what you're saying is it's either D1 or don't go.
Don't go.
Yeah. Well, Clovis girls basketball.
I mean, Clovis West girls basketball, in the years they won Selden Arena, there was years, 6 years ago where they were open division, and they were, you know, they got blown out by the first game of the, but they were in open because they won Selden. They had a pretty good record, but I just don't get now. I know things have changed a lot. Maybe Vance can help us understand. That'd be a perfect question for Vance when he comes in at 5 o'clock. To kind of give us a little bit more hit, because I know he researches that. He's on top of all that on why this and why that. But there has been some changes this past year. But I don't understand that the division thing. And then, you know, Foothill down in Bakersfield, why are they even playing in Division 4 anyway?
Yeah. No, they're in – yes. Well, why would Bakersfield Christian go to Division 3?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. So then you got. So why didn't we get one open team? And I'm not saying I'm arguing that we had all Division One, but I can't imagine why one of those schools didn't go to open. Even though it would have been tough for them to compete at that level, that's some really, really good teams out there in the open. I would have thought. I thought that Clovis West would go open if they won Valley, just because they had a pretty good schedule. They had three losses going into it. So that one didn't. I don't want to say it didn't surprise me, but I think we kind of anticipated that we might go NorCal open.
The other one, the congratulations to the girls, Memorial Panther girls. Now, they played D4. I said all year they need to be playing Division 2. How in the world? Well, the state said, well, Nick Pagmeter, don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. Moves them into D2, and they win two straight games.
Yeah.
So where do they go next year here in the Central Section?
Well, they go to Division – they should be Division 1.
Well, that's. I don't know if they'll ever go one, maybe two. Talk about it. We got to take a break. Let's talk about that. You can always call in the show 844-940 ESPN. We're here at the Fieldhouse. Come on and join us. We'll be right back on the Zone.
940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader.
You're in the Zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agra Enterprises and the Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pagmeter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday like afternoon, yeah, you're getting deeper and deeper. I don't know if you can go any deeper.
I just was informed there's a blackened salmon salad on the menu here for those of you that don't want the tri-tip salad. So there is an option for you.
Maybe next time we look at the menu.
That'd be a good idea. Be a good idea.
I'm not a menuologist, but maybe we should.
True.
You know, maybe we'll get the third Nick of the party here. Maybe he can come over and talk about the menu sometime. Because we can't find Louie anywhere. Louie's lost somewhere. He's probably trying to find some almond trees with Helen Agra Enterprises.
Probably so. I'll tell you this, though, is that if I am farming right now and I am growing an almond tree or I'm growing a pistachio tree, I'm kind of weird how I'm saying that, but I'm just saying it for the fun of it, or I'm farming vegetables, strawberries, or anything else that you're trying to jumpstart out of the ground, a great product for you is a product called Nucleus Ophos. And Ophos is a phosphate material that is a very good material when there is cold, damp conditions, Nick. Oof. So that would be a wonderful product to put out in your field, whether it be drip irrigation or banded in various crops. For label and product information, consult Helena at 559-261-9030, and they will hook you up with someone that can answer those questions based off of your geography.
Very well done. Oh, we got a final score in baseball, an upset. The number two ranked team in the Valley goes down, the Bullard Knights. Aaron Weimer gets his second win as the new Bullard Knights coach. They beat Frontier 2-1. That's a big win for the young Knights. Clovis defeats St. Mary's today, 6-2 over at Lloyd Merriman Field. St. Mary's of Stockton. And that leads me to, we do know the big story. Tom Donald is going to step down this year. He's just going to take the year off. We're going to get him on the next week or so.
What is going on with that, by the way? What do you know? You got some inside
I think it's good that Tom sits down. Okay, so I started. Let me give you a little history. People want to know about the Pag Meter. Well, my Pag Meter world started with Tom Donald of Buchanan Bears. So I've got a ring back in 2005. I was her batting practice coach. Valley Championship ring. And that's when really the dynasty started for the Buchanan Bears. And we all know they've won six Valleys. They've won two national championships. There's four dynasties, I call it here, in Central Section baseball. The Roosevelt Rough Riders back in the 50s. We know about Dick Ellsworth and Dick Selman and those outstanding team. Then we had my Bullard Knights come in, 70s and 80s, and we rolled for a while. And then James Patrick got the Clovis Cougars going in late 80s and 90s. And then Buchanan, 2005 on, has been a dynasty. So there's really four. I'd love to know. You're learning baseball from the Pag Meter.
I'm trying.
You can't compare, but boy, oh boy, what Tom Donald has done at Buchanan, and he has built a complete powerhouse. They're one of the favorites this year. He's going to take the year off he's got some personal issues, and I like he wants to just relax and get going. I mean, so, Tom, if you're listening out there, you're doing a great job, and I think it's a good time to sit and relax and just regroup. What's that mean?
I'm not sure. Oh. I just got an email that says they've lost us, but I think we're up and going. I just got a little text message said that the connection's off. But, Russ, are you out there?
Okay, we're good.
We're good. I'm not sure what that was all about, but I got a little text, a little reminder, but we're good to go.
That was my best stuff right there. I'm hoping we're still on.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so the Buchanan Bears, again, if you're just joining us, Brad Fonce will take over as the head coach. He coached last year. He's been an assistant at Buchanan for a long time. Took the Central Grizzlies job again last year, and then went back to Buchanan this year, and now he's going to take over for Tom Donald this year. We'll see if Tom comes back next year. Probably a good chance he will. They got it going over there.
Yeah, you think he comes back at Buchanan, or do you think he ends up someplace else?
I think it'd probably be Buchanan. I don't know. It's still too early in the game, but I said, Tom, take a week or two off. Let's let the dust settle, and I want you to come on, and we're going to talk about it, because he is one heck of a coach. Look at what he's done over there. You ever go to a Buchanan Bears practice, and there's no time wasted. I see a lot of practices out there, people walking around, throwing seeds at each other. Out there, you're running to spots. You are on the go. It's a college program, and I've always said, if Mike Batesel ever left, that Buchanan coaching staff could just take right over and go to Frisco State. not miss a beat.
Yeah, it goes back to what we've talked about before in prior programs, is the baseball here in the Valley. You can talk about basketball and talk about football and the various other sports that are in the high schools have, but you know, honestly, the baseball programs that we have at the schools, they're nationally recognized. I mean, we do a really good job with baseball here. We got some wonderful coaches, and it doesn't surprise me with what you describe in terms of the practice experience there at Buchanan. I do believe that. I'm not saying that's happening everywhere, but I think it's more consistent here than it is in other parts of California. You know, Southern California probably is pretty big, but the Valley itself, we've got so many great players that have come out of this area that have played in the MLB. It's fun to watch. But so my thought on Don, I don't know what happened exactly, and I don't want to speculate on that. He's such a good coach that we'll leave that up to him, and he'll work those things out. And when it's time for him to come on and talk to us about what his plans are and what he's going to do, we'll leave that to him, and he'll do that.
Yeah, I'd love to get a nice photo together of the three great coaches here. Tom Donald, the legendary James Patrick, who has more wins than ever, I mean, of all Central Section history, maybe retire at the end of the year. And then, of course, my old coach, Mike Noakes from the Bullard Knights. I'd love to get a – I saw him at the Fresno Grizzlies Hot Stove League dinner, and there's nothing like Mike Noakes hanging out with Terry Pendleton and Dave Stewart of the Oakland A's. I thought he'd be bigger, Pag Meter. I think we could have taken him back in the day. He's a classic.
I think Mike Noakes is still trying to get over you playing for him at one point. I mean, he's probably just kind of, you know, just can't remember that process with you out there on center field or pitching.
You know,
pitching.
It's a great point, because the way they coached back in the day, Nick, you can't do that anymore. And these new coaches, we've got to learn now, because everything's politically correct. I think the parents, you talked, I think we had, you talked a little bit about maybe have parent training. So true, because I think these parents, hate to say it, they're going to run out not only officials, they're going to run out great coaches.
Yeah, I mean, that's you know, I'm a parent. I can get into that rut, you know, at times and kind of act weird and get caught up. But, you know, I've got a horse in the game. And when you have a horse in the game, you know, you can either sit there and not do anything. But I think most people that have some kind of background in athletics and have a kid that plays the sport, you know, you're going to get involved. And there's a right way to get involved, and, you know, there's a wrong way to get involved. And I've seen parents that sit on benches and yell at their kids and tell them where to go, and that's not probably the right way to do it. But kind of getting mad at other things besides your kids and getting uptight about referees, I think that's natural as long as it's done the right way. But you're right, Nick. I think that, you know, some of these coaches that are out there that are, you know, busting their tail and they've got other jobs besides coaching and they also got families at the same time, that could become a stressful situation for them. And some of them say, hey, it's not worth it. I'd rather have some free time on my hands. And typically those are the guys that really have the experience that we need coaching baseball or other sports.
Or other sports, no question about it. Vance Wahlberg is going to join us around 5 o'clock. We could talk. Now, there's a guy who's been coaching a while. We're going to find out how he handles a new age of parents. I'd love to ask Vance. That might be my first. I got about 58 questions.
That'd be great. That'd be a really good one for him, because I think he's got to deal with a couple parents over there.
Ryan's with Glick Landerson. Yeah, no question about it. Let's take a break. We are live here at the Field House, Copper and Maple. Come on over and hang out with us. Take your questions, too. Russ wants that phone number going. It's like a telethon here. And we could talk about the Pag Meter Lymphoma Man of the Year as well. 844-940-ESPN. You're listening to The Zone, 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
You're in The Zone on 940 ESPN, sponsored by Helena Agri Enterprises and The Fieldhouse. Once again, here are your hosts, the Pag Meter and Nick Anderson.
You
are in The Zone.
It's deeper and deeper. 5 o'clock, the one, the only Vance Wahlberg is going to join us. We're going to talk high school basketball, the legendary with 9 rings, by the way, Vance.
Well, that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about what's remarkable. Is it 9 rings? Rings. Correct me again. Rings.
Rings. I think they're rings.
Or the softball player.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about one game. That's what I'm not talking about career.
I'm just throwing that as a funny thing, you know.
So Cole Anderson in one game in high school basketball would have to score
too many points.
85 points.
Too many points to even.
Yeah.
He'd have to get 60 rebounds.
And then
score 40 points.
Yeah. And then hit a half court shot.
Hit a half court shot. Maybe a left handed half court shot. Behind the back, I don't know. A bit, yeah, be realistic. No, you're not going to get it done.
And yeah, that's true. It's the PAG meter. It's Nick Anderson. Do want to thank Helena Agri Enterprises, LLC. Thanks for hanging out. Now, if you're a farmer, I still think there's a sun going to come out more than 2 days in a row. But if you're a tree going, help me, Helena, what can you do to make me grow?
Well, what I would do...
That's my tree voice.
...is I'd make sure I had a product called Nucleus Ofosin with your first application to stimulate root production. Then I would follow that with Nucleus 0021 or 0015 based off of soil sampling and other methods you may use to administer a program that best suits your soil environment and crop. Those two products alone with conventional products added to them for nitrogen sources are two wonderful additions to what you're currently doing. And if you're currently using those products... That's wonderful, but it'd be great. Those are OFOS, especially this year with the cold environment, the soil conditions as wet as they are. If you don't know about that product, consult Helena Nick at 559-261-9030, and they will hook you up with a PCA-CCA that can give you more information on those products.
Well, your colleagues over here said, giddy up. Wow,
oh,
you're on fire right
I'm
there.
I'm in line for a promotion. Did you say that?
Well, I don't know about that.
Nah,
they said
not.
You might have to speak at the... At the convention in spring training.
Oh, I can speak.
Yeah, I can't get you to shut up. Yeah,
that's
you can
true.
Speak okay.
I guess.
Basketball over for Clovis West. We're going to talk with Coach Vance at 5 o'clock, though. What a year. First question, he can't hear my questions, though, but I want to ask him. Would he take 30-4 at Valley Championship back when we started this thing back in September, October? What do you think he'd say?
Would he take it back? Or
no, would he take it? If I said, hey, you're going to be 30-4 in a Valley Championship and lose in the second round of the state playoffs in Division I, would you take that?
I think he'd tell you, knowing Vance, that he would expect that to happen. Every year he expects that to happen.
So that's your question. I mean, so it's no big deal to him. That's what he expects.
I don't know if it's a big deal. He just has his expectations are a certain level, and he's expecting from his players to perform at a high level. He's expecting his coaches to do what they're supposed to do in order to get that team to perform. And when he loses, he doesn't like it. So,
yeah.
Last night's loss, it didn't go over well. Trust me on that. So,
well, let me try it in his own little way, because he would have said, I interviewed him back on the Rice show. It was either in August or September, and I asked him, what kind of team? Well, then on next week, we only have one guy coming back that's actually played. And so this team's got to learn to gel together. I'm going to go on a limb. I think they gel pretty well.
I think he'll tell you that because he doesn't want you to think he's got something more than maybe what he has. But his expectations personally are to win that game, and he expects the team to win that game, and he won't accept anything less. He will, if he admits to it today, but I'd know him well enough that I'd know that's what his thought process is in his head.
So
and you can ask his son, too.
So you're thinking 32-2, and he's still not happy?
No. No. I know for a fact.
Well, he had look at Clovis West in the semifinals in that Clovis North game. They were down by 100. They came back to win in the second half. And then that Valley Championship game at Selden Arena in front of 9,000 people, beating Bullard in double overtime, was one of the greatest games I've ever seen. I don't know how you did it as a parent up in the stands, but I was going crazy.
Well, I'm a pretty calm parent.
Oh, sure you are.
I mean, I don't get excited about games like that or anything else.
Wait,
that goes
68
on.
People around us all started laughing on that one.
I will tell you this, and I said this last night when we got home after that game, and Vance will talk about this after the break, but I think chemistry is everything. We'll leave it at that, and when we get back from break, we'll have Vance on, and we'll get busy on some questions for him. And have him kind of give us a breakdown on what his thought process is for going into the seedings and all the things for the playoffs.
Come over and hang out with us. We're at Fieldhouse, Copper, and Maple. This is The Zone on 940 ESPN.
The Valley's local sports leader.
We'll be right back.
my little friend.
It's time to get in the zone.
In the zone.
Oh, my God. The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending, exciting, thrilling finish in the history of college football.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
5 seconds left in the game. Over. You believe it not? Oh, yes!
The Zone is sponsored by Helena Agro Enterprises, The Fieldhouse, and Fashion Furniture.
Swung on with the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and in.
It's Friday. It's the Fieldhouse, and you're in the zone. Here are your hosts, Nick Papagni.
You talking to me?
And Nick Anderson.
You talking to me?
It's time to get in the zone.
What are you worried about? I'm in the storm, man.
You
are in the zone.
On a Friday afternoon, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for making the zone the most popular, the most exciting show going. We are here at the Fieldhouse, Copper and Maple. The place is starting. When we showed up, Nick, there was nobody here. Now it's packed.
Well, it's packed. You know, it's interesting. You're kind of transitioning between basketball and local baseball. A lot of baseball.
Softball,
baseball, yeah. And finishing up playoffs, things like that. But there's nothing going on in terms of basketball tonight, I think, for the first time on a Friday in quite some time.
You're going to have to go out and watch baseball. Coming up at 5:30, we'll have Paul Leffler, and he's going to get you ready for Fresno State, the home opener over at Biden Field. And that's what's going on. But Helena Agro Enterprises, LLC, is always going on all the time. Call them at 559-261-9030 and get a hold of the pros. If you have a tree, if you're a farmer out there, they want to put money in your pocket. That's the key.
That's what they strive to do. Make sure that's a certified PCA and CCA.
Now, when I say next guest we have is one of the greatest coaches we've ever had. No. Vance Wahlberg is the greatest coach we've ever had in Valley history, a former NBA coach, former college coach, and the legendary Clovis West coach, 9 Valley Championship rings, head coach Vance Wahlberg. Vance, welcome in.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I mean, I asked a question to Nick, and he still was. Let's get a little closer to your mouth, so we want the world to listen. If I said back in October, September, when the basketball started, Vance, you're going to be 30-4 in a Valley Championship. Would you take it?
Yes.
See that? I knew he would. You have to take that. You don't know it.
I would.
But you had a brand new team as well.
We did. We had Cole Anderson and Dante Chachere both back. Outside of that, Alex Billy was our third guy back, who played about maybe 4 minutes a game. You know, we graduated 9 seniors. So we knew it was going to be one of those years. We had another player that was a pretty good player coming back, Milt Burnett, who decided to take off, go to Vegas, end up at Bullard at the end of the year somehow. But I'll be honest with you. I think the whole thing that happened for us was the team chemistry. It's, 3 years now being there with the guys, they really started to buy in with each other. They put the work and they put the time, they put the effort, and they started to believe and listen to one another.
So, Vance, this is your third year back at Clovis West. Because I thought the first 2 years you were here, the team chemistry wasn't half as good as this year.
Not even close. I'll be honest with you there. And I told somebody this last night before the game. We had better teams my first 2 years than we did this year. But the chemistry, the culture, the understanding what it takes to win and being able to give part of yourself to win. And that's the key.
Let's go back to the semifinals. We're talking with Vance Wahlberg. You're down. You're getting crushed. What did you tell the team at halftime to get them going? Because the second half was a whole other world.
It was just one of those games. We were down. We were up 2 weeks ago. We were up 31 at the same place at halftime. Now we're down. I think we were down 14, something like that. And I just felt they were hitting a lot of their shots. I still felt that if we just did what we're supposed to do, our run would come. Luckily. We got down a little bit further, but then it did end up coming. It's a thing I always believed in, that if we just keep playing hard, take the good shots, sooner or later things will go our way.
So as a parent, Nick, you were in the stands. You're getting crushed by Clovis North. What were you thinking at the time? Nothing's working.
Well, I mean, my kid told me something after the game that Vance said something to him at some point in the game and kind of jogged his memory, like, get off your tail and start playing basketball. And I think it was at a timeout, and another parent told me that that's what right after that is when things started to kind of change. I'm not saying it had anything to do with Cole, but the team itself at some point kind of got that thought process, wait a minute, we need to get going here, and they started gelling, and that's when things started rocking, and we started to go get that run going.
Well, Vance, I know as a coach, you see players, maybe they're not performing, maybe they're nervous, maybe they're not. Sometimes you got to rattle them.
You do. You know, it's – and that's one thing, a coach, I don't think a lot of people understand. You know, as a coach, I'm with them every day. You know, I'll be with them anywhere from 2, 4, 5 hours a day from PE, before school, after school, and so forth. And they all have their different ways of way to get motivated. Some of you just jump on them a little bit too hard, it's not going to work. Others, if you don't jump on them, they need to be jumped on and so forth. And Nick's right. Cole that night was pitiful early. I'll be honest with you. He was just kind of waiting, hiding. And I kind of jumped on a little bit, and he responded big time. And he was the type of player, once he hits a couple of threes, the whole team just feel it. They know we can go on one of those spurts that we can score 15 points in a 2.5 minute span, and we did.
I get so many parent and coaching questions. So you've got 9 Valley Championship rings. I'm sure they've changed from the first one to here, because I looked at mine when I coached for the Buchanan Bears. It looked like a little baby stub on my finger. The rings now are about 4 pounds. They're huge. But has kids or parents changed from day one to now? What have you changed in your coaching philosophies to the new era that they're living in now? Or have you?
No, I've definitely changed. And what's funny is a lot of my ex-players come back and watch, which I think is really neat. They'll come back, and they're very supportive, and they'll come and watch. And the first thing they'll tell me is, Coach, you're a big wuss. You're soft as heck. You know. But if you ask my players I have right now, they think I'm super hard, I'm crazy.
Isn't that amazing?
And everything else. Times have changed. You know, the when I was there the first time, you got to remember, I was there 13 years. And the players bleed it just to be on that team. I mean, we would have 3 guys, 15, 16, 17 guys on the team. They would get to shoot out once every 3 games, but they were so proud to do that. And I'm telling you, one of those three, all 3 of those guys right now are very successful. One of them is the principal in the Clovis Unified School District right now. One of them is on the Wall Street in Manhattan making millions a year. I mean, it's amazing just to see the success. And each and every one of them just tell me how proud they were just to be part of that team.
I hope he's donating back to Clovis West basketball.
Yes, he is. Okay.
Of course he is.
Yeah, we're talking with Vance Wahlberg. If you have a question for Coach, you can call in right now, 844-940-ESPN, the legendary Vance Wahlberg here at the Fieldhouse. You got a Valley Championship, and then you got to turn around right now. You don't know anything about the team unless you play in a maybe, or you got to call a coach, hey, I need some film. How are you doing it now when you got to play on a Wednesday or Tuesday?
Well, I don't think people realize the central section is kind of the ugly stepsister in the whole state. They put us, we don't know if we're going north or we're going south.
Yeah.
If you're one of the top 8 teams in the north, you're going to go north. If you're one of the top 8 in the south, you're going to go south. But for us, if we're one of the top 16 in the state, usually we would go to the open. We can either go north or go south. I really thought we were going to be in the open this year. And what's so hard is when you play on a Saturday, the seating comes out on a Sunday, so you're trying to get film. I thought we were going to play on Wednesday. So you get a chance to kind of catch your breath. The hard part for the kids and for everybody is you win a great game on Saturday, you know, a double overtime thriller. And then right away, Monday you practice, Tuesday you're playing, and there's like no chance to even really to enjoy it.
Well, yeah, you go. We're talking with Vance Wahlberg. I went and watched the Buller Knights play that Tuesday, and they were sleepwalking through the first 3.5 quarters. And then they picked it up the 4 minutes to go, but they lost in overtime. There was no fire because I watched one of the best games I've ever seen. Selden Arena, Saturday night, Clovis West and Buller, you won in double overtime. You're right. 24 hours later, you got to come back and play on Tuesday. There was no fire. I don't know if I like that, but that's how it is.
I think that, you know, they stress so much about Valley Championships here locally in the central section. We talk about Valley Championships all the time. And that is a lot of the goal that goes on with some of these teams, these kids. And when you lose that game, winning that game, going, you know, with what Vance is describing right now, those kids are fired up because they just won Valley. Now they're getting involved with
but the for state. Bullard.
That's what I'm talking about. So you lose the Valley Championship game, and you try to get fired up on something you really wanted was the Valley Championship, and your thought process is how far I'm going to get in state, but I'm not. I didn't ultimately achieve what I wanted to. Goes back to Clovis North, losing at Clovis West. How fired up are they for their next game that they had to sit and watch the Valley Championship game, then get ready for state playoffs, and then go to Division II?
It was not a good night. I mean, they just could not get it going. But, again, it's probably easier to fire up a team. And you got to play mind games, I'm sure, with kids. But it was easier to play to get the kid, Clovis West ready after they won the Valley Championship.
I'm not saying it was easy. I mean, if you want to be successful, you have to be ready. And that's just the whole thing. I think for our kids, you know, they and I didn't realize it, you know, it was 13 years. It was actually my youngest son's, Ian's team in back, I think it was 06, was the last team that won it. And for us, you know, they haven't won that game at Selwyn.
Yeah.
So for them, that was their big highlight. You know, for me, and a lot of them don't understand, there's nothing sweet. It's only happened once in my 41 years of coaching. You end your year on a win. It doesn't happen too often. Very few teams get to end their year on a win. When you're in high school in California, that means you're going to win your section, then you're going to play, what, 5 more games that you got to win all 5 and walk out with a big smile on your face.
Yeah, Vance Wahlberg said it right. You don't know if you're going north or south because of the way it is. And we are the stepchild of the state because I think they just throw us a bone. Because how many times have you saw girls basketball, we're number one seed, Clovis West, and they got to play in the semifinals in Long Beach Poly, and they get the home game. We're not used to us being any good in basketball, in other words.
No, but I think it's going to get better. You know, I think I'm hoping next year we start an open division ourselves, a 14
open. Let's work on that.
I'm trying like heck, talking with, you know, both Jeff and Jim at the section office to try and get that going. And if you take a look, last year and this year, we've had more wins in the state playoffs than we've ever had. And that's a little bit with what I call a little bit of the bumping down process. You see, what happens is, you know, 2 years ago, Southern Section had 16 teams in the open. All 16 went on to the state. So they put 4 in the open, they put 8 in Division I, and they put 4 in Division II. That's why Long Beach Boys with 4,800 would be in Division II. Modern Day Girls were in Division II and so forth. You know, they're trying to clean up some of that. But we're throwing all our best teams with our competitive equity. All the best teams go up to Division I.
Beat each other up.
And we used to get 2 teams to go on. That was it. You know, and it just wasn't fair.
I agree. Vance Wahlberg in the house.
So the Southern Section, so the Central Section is the only section that hasn't adopted that yet.
We're the only section we're a Southern Section team in the southern part of the state. We're the only section in the southern part of the state. In the north, the Central Coast Section has the open, and that's it. But we're in the south, and the San Diego, the L.A., and the Southern all have open divisions, and they protect all 8 of their top teams in each of those. We're just asking to have a 4. I'm trying to see, and I think a lot of people agree with it, just having a 4-team open.
And I would love to see that, because right now, just for fun, if Memorial play Clovis West in boys basketball, there's 10,000 people at Selwyn Arena.
A lot of people would like to see that game.
Both peaking right now at the best time. That would be something.
Yeah.
Would the open be at Selwyn Arena? Would you play at the gyms? I'm thinking Selwyn Arena would be the way to go. That's my 2 cents.
I think they got to figure out the logistics.
Yeah.
I think the first thing is get the open and then go from there and then figure out what's best. Because I know the contract, with Selwyn Arena is coming up in a year.
Yeah, it is. And we talked a little bit, you guys talked about that a little bit yesterday, Nick, with Matt on the Rise Show on what's coming up. And I felt like, you know, experiencing Selwyn Arena with my girls, and this is the first time I've been back there in 2 years, you know, I really feel like Selwyn Arena. And I mean, it's great to have a venue like that, but they didn't have the Jumbotron's not working anymore. The videos that they used to do with the kids that they look forward to. And you talk back on some of those players that used to play down there on a Valley Championship. They all will tell you that was some of the best experience they've ever had, walking into that gym, that arena, seeing their picture up on the Jumbotron, announcing it, and parents get to see that, taking pictures. that part of it is what we're trying to do with these kids on top of playing basketball. So if you don't have that or the ability to have that at Cellon Arena, my understanding is we barely had a scoreboard. You know, we barely were able to even have a scoreboard operating. A lot more goes into that. But not having the Jumbotron, I think, is a shame. So where else would you play a game like that? Well, Save Mart Center is an option.
If Fresno
financially.
State,
yeah.
Or if Fresno State is not playing at that same weekend.
And that'd be tough. That'd be tough. Yeah. But we talked about baseball and them playing at baseball, and I think Coach Batesel was
loving it.
Yeah, loving it and saying, hey, do I need to be on the road then? I'll be on the road. Whatever I got to do to help, yeah, help put people, these kids on this field, I want that to happen.
So Vance Wahlberg in the house. So let's look at last year. You said, well, we're going to be kind of a new team. What's next year's Clovis West team going to look like? Can you even look at that?
He's got to look at it.
There's no doubt. I mean, you know, we lost 9 seniors last year. Our top 7 players this year, 6 are seniors. So it's going to be another rebuild. But the thing with Clovis West, I don't think a lot of people understand. Those kids work so hard and put a lot of time in. You know, at this time last year, I don't think anybody knew Alex Billy was going to be the Alex Billy that he turned into this year. You know, Chris Tom came, you know, wasn't really, nobody even knew about Chris and what he would do. So there's going to be some players right now, people don't know how hard they work from now through the spring, through the summer, through the fall. You know, hopefully they'll develop too.
Do you have a few Alex Billies out there to work with Cole Anderson? Are they coming? Can you tell yet?
We'll see. I think there is, but again, you know, a lot of it depends on the dedication. You know, and that's the one thing before, when I was there the first time, I knew exactly who was coming up, who the dedicated ones are. I have a good guess, but I still, we're still not to the culture, the total culture I want. We've gotten better every year, culture-wise, but we're still not where I would like to see it.
So even though when you first started Clovis West to now, have you ever seen, with this whole kids moving around anywhere they want to go, have you ever seen anything like it?
You would see some of it with the case of, like, our player this year with Milt Burnett. I've never seen that. I've never seen a kid be at 4 schools in 18 months, be at 3 schools playing in them in less than 11 months.
You're playing against them. Never would have guessed that, huh, in the Valley Championship
game. No, and it just, you know, it's the section's got to take a look at it. I mean, it's funny because my first year here, we had a kid that transferred in. And before I came here, moved in, then I got the job, and they had made him sit the whole year. You know, now they changed the rule. If it's a total family move. There's a lot of things I think they know they got to clean up. I know what a lot there's some states have a rule that if you don't play in 25% of the games during the year, you can't play in the playoffs. That probably might be something that would be good for this section to take a look at. Family move or not, you at least have to be there for 25% of the games. You know, that's something that the state will take, you know, I'm sure the section will take a look at. So one thing I don't think that you want to see happen is the end of the season, somebody's not happy with their coach or their school, and they move over, they play the last league game and get to go play in the playoffs. To me, I think that really takes away, you know, for what high school sports should be.
Is there a senior rule? I think Jim was telling us there was some kind of a senior rule, the exemption. If you're a senior and you're moving around, you're able to – they don't care about the timing on it at all, and you're generally going to be ruled eligible right off the bat. Is there some kind of a senior clause?
I don't know. I've never heard of it, but I don't know.
Because I think that, you know, going back to some of the things you were talking about with 25, 50% of the games or whatever it is, there's got to be some kind of a – and sometimes it takes things to happen in order to go back and say, is that really the right way to do it, or should we do things differently? And then you set a rule up. But if you are going to transfer, regardless of what it is, and we've talked about this a little bit, Nick, last week, there's got to be a date. There's got to be a cutoff date at some point, unless there's a really good reason. So if you get a kid that's, let's say, living in Salinas, for example, and his parents get forced, they have to move. So they come over, and they end up at, you know,
where? Kerman again?
Kerman, yeah. They end up at Kerman. And so and there's, you know, 10 games left in the season. Well, the kid didn't have a choice. He came over from Salinas. His parents changed jobs. That's an exception to some kind of a rule that might be in place.
That's very rare, by the way.
It is.
Because the way these parents are moving their kids, because Coach Vance said it right. Maybe he's not happy with me. I'm not playing enough. We're going to that school because they're good right now. And it happens now, and I'm seeing it more and more. And still, basketball is the toughest sport to get a scholarship on compared to baseball and football around here. But there's more movement in basketball I've ever seen in my life.
There is, but again, you know, I think what people are going to realize through the line, it's the what happened with us this year. You know, things are always going to change. Things are going to happen. You know, we lost a very good player, but what it did, it let other players touch the ball, handle the ball a little bit more, and chemistry came about. You know, so you got to make the best of whatever happens. And for us, we were lucky enough that it did work out. You know, I think the hard part for me would be, you know, as a coach, I wouldn't want a kid to come in with a game left in the league, and I'm kind of forced to where if I don't play him, I kind of look bad or whatever. I would rather have that rule saying, look, if you're there at this certain time, you can play. If you're not, you can't.
Well, if I'm a senior and I'm going through Vance Wahlberg's program and I'm there, like you said, I'm with you 5 hours a day throughout the summer playing basketball. I'm at every single day. I'm busting my tail and all of a sudden, what? We got who coming in? We got a kid transferring in. He's taking my minutes away. I'm not happy with Coach Vance Wahlberg. And I think that was the catch 22 for Bowler, but they said, hey, Milton Barnett's coming. We got
to
play him.
So going back to your question earlier, and I won't let Vance comment on this one, but I'll let you comment on this. Do you think Buller losing the Valley Championship game? Do you think that caused some inner squad chemistry issues, and maybe some kids didn't play as much as they thought they were going to play, and then all of a sudden you play that playoff game, and then like you say, they play at home, and they should have probably won that game. They didn't win. Could some of that been going on post-game type of chemistry?
That's a Tim Amundsen question. I'm not sure. They look, you know, Milton Barnett was on fire. I mean, he hit some big shots.
Milton played very well against us. And I'll tell you, I think you guys know, Timmy coached with me. Timmy played for me in high school. And you're not going to find a better person
sure.
than him.
And well said.
I know he was put in a tough spot there.
Well, Coach Vance Wahlberg, thank you so much for joining us today. Coming up next is Fresno State Baseball. Paul Leffler will have the pregame show. Nick, great job again here at the Fieldhouse. I want to thank Mark Gritton from the West Hills and the Hall of Fame dinner coming up.
Man, I'll tell you what, there's a lot of good stuff coming up. But baseball's around the corner, Pags. Your cup of tea.
Follow me on the Peg Meter. And also, if you want to be on the Peg Meter All-Star Team, lymphoma, leukemia, MWOY, pagmeter.org. You can join the team. We're going to have a test sighting soon. Do you want to be part of that? Thanks for joining us here at the Fieldhouse. Thanks to Russ in the studio. Have a great weekend, everybody. You've been listening to 940 ESPN, the Valley's local sports leader. As Matt says,
get in the game.